Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Friday, April 30th, 2021. We're going to recap the first round of the draft from last night and see who won and who lost in the first round.
There were a lot of interesting moves that happened last night, so we're going to dive into that and break that down for you.
There goes that man's jock strap. Oh my God, did you see that?
America's team? Yeah, right.
Oh, baby, it's a big day in sports.
There's nothing like battling it out with your teammates all season long to go win a championship.
Green Bay's got it this year. Huge move for him. I think it's going to be a game changer.
We have a lot to talk about this busy week in the sports world. Welcome to the In a League of Their Own podcast.
The In a League of Their Own podcast is brought to you by Golf Kicks. Golf Kicks allows you to transform your favorite kicks into golf shoes. Everything from flip-flops to sneakers to Jordans will have you styling on the course. Head over to golfkicks.com today, and at checkout, use code OWN20. That's OWN20 for 20% off your order. Golf Kicks, screw your shoes. So again, first round is in the books from last night. What do you think is kind of the best steal or the best move of the draft from the first night?
I'd say there were really three good moves. 49ers taking Trey Lance, and then the Bears moving up to get Fields, and then Mac Jones falling perfectly, as if Bill Belichick knew that all along and they didn't have to move up, and he was their guy, fell right into their lap. So shout out to the Patriots for staying put and not having to make any, you know, not going to make a crazy move, and the guy falls right to you. It kind of seems like there was – a handful of that last night where teams traded down because they knew their guy was still going to be there and it worked out for them. So what do you think?
Yeah. I think my standalone one is the Bears going up and getting Fields at number 11. I know that it was kind of up in the air between him and Mac Jones and Trey Lance going to the 49ers, and earlier this week, Justin Fields kind of fell out of that conversation, and it looked like he was going to fall out of the top 10, which he did, going at number 11. So I'm sure Fields would have liked to go up higher, but at the same time, he was like, it's all part of the plan. He's like, it was meant for me to be a Chicago Bear. And I think it's a really good fit for him. I know we kind of had our doubts about Andy Dalton coming over from Cincinnati and kind of being their number one guy. Supposedly the Bears came out and said today that Andy Dalton is still their QB1. So nothing has changed there. Although I'm sure training camp, if Fields balls out, he could easily move up to that number one spot. But yeah, Bears didn't have to trade up too far. It didn't look like they had to give up a whole lot either. And they went out and got hopefully their next franchise quarterback, missing out on both Mahomes and Watson a couple years back in the draft. Looks like they kind of got the redemption and got just as good of a guy.
And then flip that over to the other side of the table. Who do you think was the biggest loss or the biggest losses last night in the draft?
I mean, initial reaction as we were watching the draft together last night, the Packers taking Eric Stokes at 29. We were both pretty disgruntled about that and not really happy about it. Although thinking about it more and just kind of getting the reaction of the sports world about it, it's not a terrible move given that Packers pass defense kind of fell apart in the NFC Championship game, gave up some key catches that really led to them losing that game. So Eric Stokes had the fastest 40 time in the draft. I believe you said a 4.23 or 4.42 something. So that's going to help a lot with kind of that secondary getting burnt over the top. Again, would have been nice to see him going after a receiver, although tonight with the second and third round, there's really probably 5 to 8 guys that are still available, going to be available for the Packers at pick 62 to still try to go get a receiver for Rodgers. Everybody knows kind of about that whole spiel with him wanting out of Green Bay, and seeing them get a defensive back with their first round pick kind of stepped on Rodgers' toes even more. So with that being said, do you think that kind of gets Rodgers more out the door, or do you think that the Packers still have plenty more picks to go make things right in the draft?
I still think they have plenty more picks, and there's still time to go make something happen. But it wasn't the offense. The reason why we did lose these games, it was our defense. So yeah, it would have been nice to go get a wide receiver, but the wide receiver like class coming in this year and going forward, as a lot of these analysts and guys who do a lot of studying about these younger guys, wide receivers are coming in ready to play like right now. And there's a lot more of them now because of the way football has changed, you know, like at a younger age, kids are playing 7-on-7 a lot more than like tackle football all year round and all this other type of stuff. So all the skill position guys are going to be coming into the league, like ready to play now. So I don't know. Maybe that's an adios to Kevin King, you know, bringing him in there. And I mean, he was kind of the reason that we ended up losing that game. Like, I'm not solely going to put it all on him. Obviously, some of the calls and stuff could have been the issue too, if he was doing his job. But also at the same time, he didn't look too good. And I wasn't too happy with it at first, but our defense is the reason why we did struggle. So,
with that being said, defense is struggling. The Falcons went and got Kyle Pitts at number 4. At first glance, looks like a great move for them. Obviously, once you get outside the top 3, Kyle Pitts is basically, if 4 doesn't take him, 5 is going to take him, and so on and so forth. It's just, you know, he's going to go early on. The Falcons, although they don't really have a tight end, like a stellar tight end, and Kyle Pitts can be used at a receiver and a tight end position, the Falcons, their offense isn't the issue. So now they're going to be putting up more points. They're still going to put up 40, 50 points and still be losing games because their defense can't keep their end of the bargain up with not blowing 17, 21, 24 point leads. So that's kind of, or I guess with this one too, kind of in the same boat as even though, yes, Kyle Pitts is arguably the most versatile pick out of this draft, I think that this is kind of a loss for the Falcons because, yes, or I don't know how many more picks they have for the rest of the draft, but I think they need to address more their defense than their offense. Their offense has never been the issue. Matt Ryan's an above average quarterback. You got Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. You got Todd Gurley, who struggled a little bit last year, but was great on the Rams. They have a veteran offensive line who holds down the fort. So I think that they really should have. I mean, I don't say they should have picked a defensive guy at number 4, but Pitts doesn't really seem like the answer for them on that team.
I just look at it, the fact, like, you look at all the leads that they've blown. From the time that they had those leads, they haven't scored any more points. So their offenses went completely stagnant, where it seems like, and obviously Julio missing last year hurt them for the majority of the year. But also at the same time, they don't have – Hooper was their tight end. I don't know where he is now, but ever since he kind of disappeared from their team, they haven't – Ryan doesn't have a safety blanket, and he's not the most athletic guy to be running around and all that type of stuff. So I personally feel like Pitts was a steal for him to slide that far. I mean, he's only the 3rd tight end ever to be drafted in the top 5. I think he's the first since like 1972 or something like that. But for what this guy could do, you have to go get him. I mean, those games that they've ended up blowing the leads, they only lost by a handful of points. So you score one more tutty and that's a victory. You know what I mean? So especially helping Matt Ryan out late in his career, you know, maybe try to get him to him a Super Bowl. I don't know. Who knows? But my loss of the draft last night was the Oakland Raiders, or the Vegas Raiders, I should say now. Who the fuck is Alex Leatherwood? And I mean, I was shocked that they ended up taking him when there was – you had Darashaw, who ended up sliding all the way, and then you had top defenders Jamin Davis. You had Quiddy Payne also available. And then them also in, like, the Rodgers talk, like, why – who is this guy, and why would you just – I'm not – there was a couple other guys, you know, there was a couple other guys who did the same thing. It's like, who is this guy? But, I mean, if they did their homework and it ends up panning out for them, obviously we won't know for a couple of years, probably 2 to 3 years, whether it was a good pick or not. But as of right now, that's my loss of the draft. Is that kind of does nothing for their team.
Yeah. And I think in my mock draft, I had him actually going to the Chiefs at 31. So I still had him going in the first round. But yeah, it kind of was crazy to see him go that high to the Raiders. But I guess, like, he was like the third or fourth ranked offensive lineman in the draft. But Darrishaw, Sewell, some of these other guys, Elijah Vera Tucker, are all kind of solidified as offensive tackles. Leatherwood saw time at tackle and guard. So I guess in that respect, I could see the little bit of value that was added to him there, to where he's versatile, can move on the line there and fit wherever the Raiders might need him. But yeah, I definitely agree that he could have slid to the end of the first round, if not went second round. But I mean, great for the young man to get picked in the first round. But I agree, the Raiders had other guys available at that spot that they definitely could have went after. But like you said, 2 or 3 years will tell. If he ends up being a stud, then it was a good pick for him.
And another thing too is Najee Harris to the Steelers. I have that could be a potential bust as well. The Steelers with Roethlisberger, them choosing to keep him on the team, they're kind of in like a win now. They're like in an all or bust type of a moment. So it's not really a good environment to bring a rookie into where it's a boom or bust and he's going to be criticized very heavily since he's going to be thrown into the fire there. I don't know. I would have liked to see him go to a team where they kind of have where it's not immediate, you know, where you have Ben Roethlisberger on his last legs trying to get another Super Bowl or a Super Bowl. I don't think he has one, does he?
Ben? Yeah, he does. I want to say 2007, 2008. One of those years.
Hines Ward. Yep, that's right. Hines Ward team.
I think they beat the Seahawks, if I remember correctly.
So to see him try to go get another ring, you know, late in his career, they're kind of an all-in thing. So that's another potential bust. Obviously, Najee Harris is a great athlete, great running back, but a lot of how you pan out and how you succeed is if you're put into that right fit. It's like there's so many quarterbacks who even get thrown into the wrong organization or a wrong fit, and they just don't work. Where if they could have went somewhere else, who knows, they could have been so good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Najee Harris, I think he could have definitely got taken in the second round. Though, with my mock draft, it was actually funny how I was getting some backlash from people on the Steelers taking Najee Harris at 24, and then the Jags taking Travis Etienne at 25. That's exactly how it played out. So, I mean, just kind of looking at who became best available at that time, it made sense, especially with James Conner leaving and going to, I think, Denver, if I remember correctly, is where James Conner.
He went to Arizona.
Yeah, James Conner kind of took the load after Le'Veon Bell left. Conner leaves. Now you got to go out and fill that spot. And Najee Harris is the best available running back at that time. So like you said, they're definitely in a win now situation, and their run game isn't going to really, it's going to help Roethlisberger to where if he's having a rough game, he can turn a hand off the ball or if Harris is just having a hot day and Roethlisberger can just turn and keep grinding the clock in the second half, whatever it might be. I think it was a decent move for them. I don't really know who else they would have went out and got. Obviously, the Steel Curtain defense has been amazing. Not really anything to change there. They got some young offensive linemen. They lost Bud Dupree, yeah. They got a young receiving core, and then obviously Big Ben under center. So on the offensive side, Najee Harris is the mesh that seems like it's going to hold that offense together. So, moving over to back to the Jags, kind of an interesting point here. Yesterday, Tim Tebow showed up and tried out for the Jaguars for the tight end position. Interesting to see. I think it was last year he announced his retirement from baseball. He was on one of the Mets, either the AA or the AAA teams.
AAA
team. And then never made it up to the leagues or the big leagues and called it a career with baseball. Fast forward now about a year or so. Tries out for the Jaguars. Sounds like he had a good workout. The Jags came out, didn't say that, like, we're not interested, but then they didn't sign him immediately. But also they said that their sole focus was on the draft because, I mean, he did show up on day one of the draft. So I could see him definitely getting signed next week. Maybe they have him back for a second workout, stuff like that. But it'd be cool to see Tim Tebow back in the league. And Jaguars, again, that's kind of a lull in that offense as a tight end position. So to have Tim Tebow come in there, if he can catch balls, obviously it's a big physical guy. Hopefully he's got the speed, maybe slim down a little bit. But yeah, I think that'd be a good move for him as well.
Yeah. If you just would have stuck with playing football and didn't go the whole baseball route thing, I think you would have had a better chance of panning out as a tight end and actually having a career as a tight end. But being so far removed and you change your body completely from football to baseball, he's going to get a shot, but I mean, who knows if that's going to last. I don't see it lasting. I could see him being on a team just to sell some jerseys to make some money for a team. Maybe get out there every once in a while, but no, I do not see him. Like I said, he should have just did that right away when he was done with quarterback. He should have went right to a tight end, and I guarantee you he's got the body in the, you know, for a tight end. He'd have been really good.
I mean, he picked the right team to go to. The Jags are that one team where I couldn't even tell you who a tight end is on the team. Is on the team. Yeah, the Jets. But yeah, I mean, the Jaguars are a team that would make sense for him to go to. But yeah, we'll see you next week or 2 weeks if he ends up getting signed or what. Maybe he has a really good workout and another team catches eye on him or something. Who knows?
Yeah, but then let's talk about the biggest news from yesterday that came out around a little afternoon. Aaron Rodgers says he wants out of Green Bay. He does not want to return. GM says we are not trading him. We're not going to do this. He is our guy in 2021 and beyond. Rumors this morning come out that Denver is near a close done deal trade with the Packers. What do you think is currently going on with that situation? What do you think is going to pan out here?
I mean, the Packers, I'm getting less and less respect for their front office for kind of the decisions they make and the things they say. They come out and say, oh, Rodgers is our guy. Well, he doesn't want to be your guy. the way you've treated him, not giving him his guaranteed money, not giving him weapons, going behind his back in the offseason and making moves, drafting a quarterback without giving him notice. He finds out literally by watching it live himself. It's just a snowball effect. Waiting for he's just a ticking time bomb, and luckily Rodgers is a humble kind of to himself guy, so he doesn't have a big ego where one thing sets him off. He's kind of taking a lot of punches, and eventually it's going to get to the point where if Denver puts together a good deal, I hope Rodgers is in the Packers organization in their ear saying trade me, even though the Packers are saying that they're not going to get rid of him. That's a better fit for him over there. It's a good defense. They went out and got another guy in the draft last night to kind of build up that defense again with another cornerback. They have some offensive weapons. They just got Jerry Jeudy. You got Melvin Gordon. You got Noah Fant.
Yeah, their top two wide receivers did lead the league in drops, though, last year.
Who's the other one? Emmanuel Sanders or no?
No.
His
name was – was it Tim Patrick?
That doesn't sound familiar.
Cortland Sutton?
Oh, Cortland Sutton, yeah.
Maybe it was him. But, yeah, all I know is that their top two wide receivers were literally number one and number two in drops last year. And that's with Drew Lock throwing you the ball. So then you got Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball.
Well, that's the thing, too, is those drop passes due to bad ball placement. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I didn't watch the tape. I just
– Exactly. So it's – I guess you have to watch the tape and see if it's just – if the ball's good throws and they're just dropping them, or if it's bad ball placement and the quarter – and Drew Lock was leading them to – basically get smashed the second they hit the ball and they drop it and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously it'd be a loss for Rodgers to go there in the respect of the relationship he's built with Davante Adams. But aside from that, he doesn't really have any reason to stay in Green Bay. He doesn't, it's not like Green Bay's given him everything he's ever wanted and treated him like a king there. And he's breaking that loyalty and wants to go elsewhere. It's the exact opposite. He's kept loyal to the Green Bay Packers for really 3 to 5 years of getting treated like shit. And now he's finally getting to a point that he's realizing he's getting old. He's only got, like he said, he wants to play for 5 to 7 more years. And short-term wise, the Packers are kind of trending down as far as what they're doing to that team. They keep putting money and signings and draft picks into that defense. And the defense either stays put or gets a little bit better every year, not leaps and bounds better to where they're going to go win a Super Bowl. But I don't know. Obviously, as a Packers fan, you want to see him stay put. But as an Aaron Rodgers fan, I hope he leaves.
Damn, I didn't think you were going to say that to finish that up.
I just I'm sick of taking the Packers side with everything and think and like years ago, I thought Rodgers is just the stuck up like asshole. And like, he was the reason the Packers are losing and this and that, only to find out that he just put his head down and just kept going to work and not saying a damn thing about the way the organization was treating him. So I'm at the point now where what Rodgers thinks is best for himself, I'm with that. And it's like I said, as much as I grew up as Packers fan and that's been my team ever since I was born, I'd like to see them crash and burn for once. That way they can kind of establish a new foundation and get back up. Cause right now in the NFL, you can't have one guy lead your team. And if he goes out, the whole season goes to shit. Like, look at the Chiefs. Mahomes went out in the divisional round. Backup steps in and goes and wins the game for him. New England, Brady had his 4-game suspension. Stidham and Garoppolo,
Nick Foles coming in and winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, all these are examples of your top guy goes down and the rest of the team steps up. The Packers have relied so much on Rodgers that when he goes down, the season goes to shit. And that's how it's been. The couple times he's gone down with a collarbone or concussion or with his knee 2 years ago. Like I said, as hard as it is to say, I'd like to see Rodgers leave and watch that organization crash and burn so that they can kind of bring in a new quarterback and treat him the right way. Because if they don't fix it soon and get Rodgers the weapons he needs and restructure his contract and reestablish those relationships, he's going to be gone. And it's going to be, as much as it's going to suck, it's going to be kind of nice to see him go elsewhere and treated the way he deserves to be.
Yeah, I hope he does stay a Packer, obviously, but I'm not on the Packers side with this, like how they've treated him. Like, I stand with you on that. The past 11 seasons, we've given him one, or the Packers have drafted one offensive person in the first round, and that was Jordan Love. Everything's been to the defense. So there's been no help in the last 10 years, really, for him on the offensive side. Then you have Davante Adams, who also isn't signing his contract extension, just like Rodgers decided not to sign his, because everybody found out this morning that they've flown out to meet Rodgers at least 3 to 5 times trying to mend relationships, offer contract extensions, all that, and he said no. And I mean, I don't blame the guy. You, like you said, for taking basically 10 years of almost abuse, it seems like, to and never stand up for yourself. And now when the Packers organization sees, oh my God, we're going to be in a shithole if we can't save this somehow. And he goes, it's too late now. You know, you should have taken care of me from the beginning if you really cared about me. And that just goes to show that the Packers organization really has problems with keeping people. And look at all the successful people who leave Green Bay and go have great seasons everywhere else. And it's just like, maybe it is something within the front office that's a big problem. But with no owner, it's really hard to get anything done of changing those positions of people and all that stuff that goes in there. So, I mean, I kind of wish the Jimmy G thing went through last night. I feel like that would have been at least a somewhat fair trade, getting a quarterback who can at least step in and play now. But him going to Denver, supposedly, this is like almost like a done deal. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if you see Davante Adams leave and go out to Denver when his time is up here in Green Bay. Because I can see him following Rodgers wherever he's going to go. Because those two just have a chemistry kind of like no other quarterback really has. I mean, the closest I could say is Gronk and Brady. I mean, Brady fucking chucks the ball up, but he knows Gronk's coming out. You know, that type of same thing. So it's going to be really interesting. But as like you said, it'd be nice to see the Packers crash and burn and really get slapped in the mouth at least one time and have to figure out what is the problem. Because It doesn't seem like it's the players. It seems like it's the front office and or whoever. And look at how our defense has been ran, like Patton. Don't get me wrong. We had a couple good seasons. One linebacker, don't cut it. And whoever we had before that, don't cut it. Like, that just doesn't – McAfee brought it up. He's just like, there's so many people who end up making it into the NFL and finding a job, just like we've talked about multiple times before, where that's why the turnover between season to season is like 35-40% every single season, because some guys have a good tryout, you know, get lucky, get signed, and people go, these guys fucking stink. Like, how did they get a job? There's better people, all that. So, yeah, I mean, go Pack, go, obviously, but whatever team he goes to, I'm going to be a fan.
For sure. And kind of you mentioned going to Denver. It makes you wonder, and we were talking about before we went live with kind of the Panthers only getting or getting rid of Teddy Bridgewater for and getting a sixth-round pick in return. That's quite a steal, but looking at it, if kind of as that deal went down, if the Broncos kind of knew that the whole Rodgers fiasco was starting to build up, they go out and get Teddy Bridgewater for cheap just to turn around and give him to the Packers in a package deal. So I definitely take Teddy Bridgewater over kind of the other teams that were interested, like the Raiders. I honestly take Bridgewater over Jimmy G. He seems like he's more versatile, obviously more mobile. He's been thrown into high pressure situations and produced. Drew Brees goes down, he goes out, wins, goes 6-0 with Drew Brees going down and kind of holds the fort down there. And then when he was in Carolina, on pace for an MVP season before he got hurt, kind of that, or he just has such an trending up career, minus getting hurt the couple times he did, which every quarterback fights injuries in one case or another, whether it's publicized or makes them miss time or not, they're always fighting injuries just with the hits that they're taking nowadays. But and Teddy's a young guy too, so who knows what's going to happen there with Denver. I know there's sources that say it's close to a done deal, but I guess if it doesn't go through, I think Rodgers is going to stay put. Whatever deal Denver is putting together is the closest to becoming a deal. If that doesn't go through, I don't see any other team matching that then.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. Obviously, nothing is real until it happens. So I'm going to stay optimistic. Hope that Green Bay figures it out. Hopefully we go out here in the second ladder couple rounds and get a couple wide receivers. And let's see what we can do here. But, yeah, if he goes to Denver, great. I mean, that'd be a good fit for him. They got a young team. That defense is good. Add a couple more weapons. Maybe even we're trying to bring Devontae over. Because you almost have – there's almost no Devontae without Rodgers. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't sound the same. That's like when Jordy left. It's like – or Randall Cobb. It's like when they left, that connection that they had just seemed so good. It's like, you just can't see him catching balls for another guy.
Yeah. What about, I didn't even think of this, because Devontae, I'm sure, would want to follow Rodgers if he leaves. If he goes to Denver, you send Teddy Bridgewater in exchange for Rodgers, and you send Jerry Jeudy in exchange for Devontae Adams. Do you think that'd be a good
getting hosed? No.
Well, not straight up. Obviously, there'd be draft picks and like other guys involved, but the two notable players exchanged, Teddy Bridgewater and Jerry Jeudy, for Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, along with four or five first round draft picks, a cut like probably 10, close to 10 draft picks total, and a couple other guys as well. But those are the kind of the four notable guys exchanged.
That could be a good deal. What do you think about this one? Kevin King, Adams, Rodgers, Denver. We get Jeudy, Bridgewater, Surtain, draft picks, and they retain some of the salary on. Like, they basically – we don't have to retain none of Rodgers' salary. Like, they take it all.
That could be a good deal.
Because it's kind of like a – they get a corner who can play, because Kevin King's hit or miss. He can play versus a rookie who you don't know how good he's going to be. You're going to get a wide receiver for a young wide receiver, and then quarterback for quarterback.
So, basically, Denver would be in a win-now situation, and Green Bay would be in a rebuild with young guys, which wouldn't be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, and then you have the Julio Jones situation, which ain't going to happen until after June 1st. Are the Packers trying to make some moves where they're going to tell Aaron, hey, hold on. We're going to get you Julio. Just don't you worry.
I mean, I think that would be the only thing that would keep him, honestly. If they're saying, hey, we're going to go get you Julio, he's like, all right, I'll stay if you get him. If you don't, I'm out. That's a pretty fair ultimatum, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree.
switching to a little bit more QB talk here over at the Patriots. After the draft yesterday, Bill Belichick said that they – are moving forward with Cam Newton at QB1. And then he went on to say that Mac Jones and Jarrett Stidham, when they're ready to compete and ready for the challenge, that they'll get the nod. I think this is a good move for them, obviously, to stick with Cam Newton. I know you've expressed kind of being in the same boat as well, saying that no matter what happens with the draft, they stick with Newton. Obviously, with him being on a one-year deal, I think that's fair to obviously give him what he deserves and let him prove his worth for one more year and either stay on a big contract. Otherwise, with the cap going up next year, Newton leaves and goes to another team for a lot of money, and then Stidham or Jones step up into that QB1 position. So, again, Bill Belichick is over here playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers. He's always five steps ahead of everybody and kind of knows what's going to happen. I think that's obviously a good move for them, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I can see them moving on from Cam after this season, regardless of how good or bad he does, just to get the new guy that Bill really wanted up in the reins. So, yeah, unless the season falls apart, you ain't going to see Mac Jones this season. Good fit, though, for the kid. Pro-style offense to pro-style guy, non-athletic. You know, you even mentioned last night, the last time they drafted a guy with three letters in his first name and five in his last name. Look what happened. So here's a new rep, and people are already coming up with nicknames for him, like how Tom Brady is TB12. People are already saying MJ10. So we're about to see what's going to happen over there down in New England. I know they're excited. They're an excited fan base for what they brought in here. Is no one really thought he was going to be gone at three.
Yeah, it was obviously great to see the Patriots not have to move, not have to trade up and give up more draft picks or collateral or anything like that. I had the Bears feeling you're being the kind of the steal of the draft, getting Fields at 11. I think number two would be Mac Jones falling to 15 for the Patriots. Everybody knows what happens when a QB comes into that system in New England, and it's going to be scary to see what happens with Mac Jones over the next couple of years. I don't think he's going to be a bust. It's going to be a matter of whether or not he meets that above average expectation of New England, or if he's going to end up somewhere else and be a QB1 elsewhere. But if he flourishes, I see him being Bill's guy until maybe he retires.
Yeah, time will tell. Time will tell.
The last point I had kind of related to the draft, not even 24 hours after becoming the first overall pick to the Jags, Trevor Lawrence signs a multi-year deal with Fanatics, joins a list of many Hall of Famers who have come before him, a lot of them being quarterbacks. So young man's making money already. Not even a day after being in the NFL, hasn't even seen a contract paper signed for the NFL for being a quarterback, and he's probably already making millions with Fanatics. So great to see him already making deals.
Yeah, and then the last thing that I have on the draft as well, Joe Horn, the legendary wide receiver, was pretty pissed off about the coverage that they had for his kid last night for the draft. He said he was really disappointed with the NFL and how they didn't give his kid basically the same amount of clout that everybody else had with all the cameras and all the... So I think that was just kind of funny how, especially since he's a Hall of Famer, it's like you're going to have a guy whose kid you don't even have people over there.
Yeah.
But
I saw that a little bit too, and it's understandably so to be upset because
it's a big moment in your life, man.
Yeah, and after he got announced, the panel went back to talking about Rodgers and what's going to happen with Rodgers. And basically that's all they talked about for 5-10 minutes, and then the next draft pick was announced. So they didn't really go through the highlights of JC Horn, have his interview on the stage, give him his 5 minutes of fame. They just went back to the Rodgers story, which is what views get. Everybody wants to know, what's the breaking news on this big story? But at the same time, young man just got drafted in the top 10 of the NFL draft. And he's having the night of his life. Obviously, he, JC Horn,
player to go.
Yeah. JC Horn, he probably didn't notice. He didn't notice at all. He's talking with everybody, having a good old time on the stage. He doesn't realize that the TV coverage isn't covering him, really. So, but it is what it is. Obviously, the media is going to cover what they want to cover. So, do you have any other points on the NFL?
No, I don't. I do not.
All right. Kind of go over to the MLB here. I got a couple points. Last night, Giannis went down within the first minute of the game against the Rockets, re-aggravating his right ankle. He had sat out, I believe, 3 or 4 games, spraining that ankle. Looked like he re-sprained it again. They'd go on to lose. Kevin Porter Jr. dropped 50 against the Bucks. He became the fourth youngest player to hit that mark. So I guess going to the strip club worked out for him after all, breaking that COVID protocol, comes back after his first game after his suspension and drops 50. So kind of embarrassing for the Bucks to lose to really the second worst team in the NBA, along with the Timberwolves. But when Giannis goes down in the first minute, you kind of got to switch your game plan around and bank. And you got to try to find 30, 40 points elsewhere within your team. Yeah, that's all I had with the NBA. You got any news over there?
Just LeBron might be back from his injury on Friday. People are hoping that he may return tonight. So we will see. I know the Lakers are really hoping that he comes back because they're kind of on a skid, trying to hold on to their playoff spot. So that's really all I had for the NBA. It was just LeBron coming back tonight, hopefully.
Yeah, and it's gonna be interesting. NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs are gonna be basically going on simultaneously. So it's gonna be fun for us to kind of break it down night by night to see who's hot with the play-in tournament, stuff like that, and then the NHL race, which I'm sure you'll dive into in a minute here as well. But just a couple MLB points before switch things over to you. Brewers kicked off their series with the Dodgers last night with a 2-1 win. The Cubs snapped their 5-game skid last night against the Braves 9-3. The Cardinals won on a wild pitch in the 10th inning last night, and they split the series with the Phillies 2-2. And then kind of a fun thing I saw last night, a fan in the stands got Mike Trout's attention in the outfield. It said, "Right hand MP5, left hand MAC-10, which are two popular weapons used in Call of Duty. Trout raises left hand, so I know he gets into Call of Duty. He streams and stuff when has his off nights and stuff like that. So it's always good to see those interactions with fans and players, playing catch, asking questions, stuff like that. So that was just cool to see.
Yeah, and then I had one thing on the MLB too. Roberto Alomar, who had been serving as a consultant for Major League Baseball, has been placed on the ineligible list after an investigation into a 2014 sexual misconduct allegation. It's good to see. Since kind of the last issue that we talked about with the MLB happening, and nothing really was done. Seems like they've started to crack down, and now they're going through and are taking everybody out that is a problem, no matter what your rank is. So shout out to the MLB for getting that done. It's good to see them cleaning up the sport and making it a safe place for everyone.
For sure.
And then, yeah, diving into the NHL talk for today. Not too much really going on as of late. Yesterday, my Flyers lost, so they are eliminated from the playoffs. Congratulations on a shit year. The Pittsburgh Penguins edged the Capitals in overtime, as now both of those teams has clinched. Toronto Maple Leafs, they won 4-1. Battle of Alberta, Calgary ended up winning 3-1, which is huge for them. They sit 4 points back from Montreal. With Montreal has a game in hand, and both teams are coming down like it's coming down every single day. So every day is a must-win game. New York Rangers, they're kind of on the edge. Hottest team right now, I would have to say, is the St. Louis Blues. They've kind of came from nowhere, and now they sit fourth spot pretty comfortably in the West. So it's going to be interesting to see what all shakes out of that. Yeah, not really too much news. I mean, playoffs are coming here. Teams are starting to get hot. I guess the biggest news is that the Seattle NHL new team in the NHL, the Seattle Kraken, has officially made their final payment to become officially the 32nd NHL team. Now, which will make the playoffs and the divisions even. So that's pretty cool. Holy shit. Alex Ovechkin is back to practice today after him being out. And Jaromír Jágr, Hall of Famer, says he does not plan to retire following his 33rd NHL season. He just led the team that he owns over in the Czech League, the Pro League that Cody Hess from the other day played in. Their team ended up winning the championship in 7 games this year, 5-2. So they're going back to the top league. And Jágr says, I still got it. I still put in the work. So I'm going to keep playing because it's fun. And that's fucking awesome to see. Dude, 34th season in the NHL he's coming up on, dude. He's going to be 50 years old. Like, that is insane, dude.
That's unreal.
That is insane. And then, yeah, that's kind of all I had here. Still going to bring up those two questions that I asked you just to see if you're still going to stick with them or not. McDavid's at 84 points. Willie at a hundo.
Did they put, or what was he at last?
They played. He had 1 point.
How many games they have left? No, it doesn't matter. Yeah, he's going to hit it.
They have eight games.
8 games, 16 points. So, yeah, 2 points a game.
That's 2 a game.
He can do that easily.
And then Matthews hitting 40. He pumped another one in last night. He's at 36.
He's got it. Because he, with 6 games left, he needs 4. So he can afford to have 2 games without a goal. Yeah. He's already ahead of it. So, yeah, he's going to hit 40 for sure.
Yeah, that's – I'm going to agree with you on both of those points. I think the same thing. Just really quick, checking out the lineup for tonight's game. Cole Caulfield is in the lineup again. He's been slotted down to the third line. Ooh. But he's still in there. That's awesome to see him playing. And then Max McCormick. Got to mention his name. One of the boys. He also got in the game last night against Carolina. No points, but he was in for the third consecutive game as they've clinched the playoffs that are in it. So it's going to be cool to see 2 potential kids from Wisconsin that are young guys getting a chance potentially to battle it all for a Stanley Cup. I think that'd be pretty cool. But, yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Well, yeah, again, second and third rounds of the draft tonight and then 4 through 7 tomorrow. So on Monday, we'll probably break down, see kind of what the big steals are going to be throughout the rest of the draft. I know it kind of everybody loses interest once it gets past the second round. So we'll kind of pick out a couple guys who got drafted throughout and kind of see who's the best fits. If the Packers make some moves that kind of keep Rodgers or if they're going to have him out the door, things like that. So we'll break that down for you guys on Monday. Looks like there's a couple of UFC fights this weekend as well. We'll break those down for you. Yeah. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Again, thanks for stopping in and yeah, we'll see you guys in a couple of days.
Yeah. Thanks everyone. And have a great weekend.
Thank you.